Welcome to the Sparky Life Podcast. I'm your host, Leah Lamella. Here we discuss women in the trades and how to construct your career. How does hanging a picture from a thrift store become a career? Our guest today, mother of three, self-proclaimed tomboy, who worked her way from the bottom up, can give us insight on how it all began with a picture from a thrift store. Welcome with me, heavy equipment operator, Stacy Abbott. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good, very good.
Good.
I would like to introduce you to our listeners. This is Stacy Abbott. She's an operator. Stacy, can you give us an idea of what operators do?
Okay, well, we're considered heavy duty equipment operators, and I specialize in running an excavator, all sizes from the tiny 50 size up to a 400, and I run loaders and skid steers. So whatever big equipment you operate, usually they classify you as a heavy equipment operator.
Stacy, I'd like to give everyone an idea of what you look like. Can you tell us your height and weight?
Yeah, I'm 5'6". I'm 159 pounds. I've probably been that my whole life. Well, since I've been 15.
Awesome. At any point that you've been in the trades, have you found something that you physically were not capable of doing?
I didn't. Until after my work accident I had later down the line. But before that, there's nothing I wasn't able to do that a man could do as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't run into actually anything.
What made you want to follow the path of an operator?
At 33, I was single with three children all of a sudden. I was in my second marriage and it ended, unfortunately, and I needed to make some good money because I was the lone supporter of my children. So instead of just getting a regular job, you know, at Walmart or cashier, I wanted something challenging and that I could make good money at, seeing how I couldn't go to college or university. So I bought a picture of an excavator from a thrift shop. And I should say that I've always been kind of a tomboy. I've liked outdoor stuff. And I found this picture of an excavator. I put it up on my wall. Next day, I walked into an excavating office, a local company, and I told them I want to be an operator.
Well, that's very badass. Very brave.
I said, look, I'll start at the bottom. I'll do whatever I can do. And so they took me on a probation. I started out flagging for them. I started out doing graveyards, watching concrete dry, whatever I could do just to get full-time work until I got a chance to operate a machine. And a year later, they started bringing me machines up to a site I was looking after, like a big wood recycling plant up on a mountain. And they had no one to pile up the wood. So they would drop off a machine to me and I would just teach myself.
Wow.
And the good part was is they kept their promise that I would learn how to run their equipment. And I did. And that's where it all started.
You really worked your way from the bottom up. That's awesome. Talk about hard work ethic. That's great. That's really great. And can you give our listeners an idea of salary? What's an operator typically make?
Yeah, well, right now the market's awesome. I make $39 an hour.
Nice.
I'm on salary, so whether it's a rain or a snow day, I still get paid.
Awesome.
Yeah, but I've finally gotten up to this wage. It's taken me a long time to get up to where the guys' wage are making. Before that, I was down to 25, 27 an hour, up to about when COVID hit. And then everyone's building. I guess they're at home and things start booming. And all the wages have gone up for all the trades, actually.
Yes.
Like, you know, all the trades. And it's really when I really got excited because I'm in the prime of my industry where I'm confident doing any kind of job now. And now I can finally make the wage I deserve.
Stacy, you're not with a union, right? You're with a private company, correct?
Yes. It just worked out that way. It's not what I preferred, but it's what I've enjoyed because they really treat you individually with respect and they can really, I've just enjoyed it because I've got to know the family of the owners and, you know, it's like a big unit. I like that. But the bigger companies, I would have loved to be part of a union and get a pension. If I would have started out that way, that also would have been more beneficial for me. And I still can do that. If I want to switch over somewhere, I have that option because everyone's screaming for trades right now. So
yeah, it's It's wonderful for the trades right now, but it sounds like you've got a really good relationship with the company that you're with. So that's really nice. That's really nice. It's hard to find a company environment that you feel that you're really a part of the team and that they value you.
That's most important to me. I think that's what outweighs it, all the other benefits, is just going to work every day with a group of people who respect you and who you respect.
I want to circle back to something. You said you got hurt on the job. So obviously, trades, safety first. It is dangerous. I wouldn't say that it's the most dangerous job, but people do get hurt on construction sites. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah. In 2014, I was working for the boss I'm working for now at another site. And I was an equipment operator, but another employee needed help on a screener, which screens dirt through a big trommel. And it's portable, so you can drag it places and screen dirt. But he had some problems with it. I got up on top of it to help him clean it out and show him what to do. And I guess there was a misunderstanding, and he turned on the machine when I was on the spinning trommel.
Oh, wow.
So I had to jump off quickly or be squished, pulled inside it. So I fell off backwards onto concrete.
Oof.
Well, 28 feet down. And I was awake for the whole thing. And when I landed, I broke my shoulder, my finger, and shattered my pelvis just on my left side. But my back and my head were uninjured, which I was very thankful for.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah. So long story short, I got rushed to the hospital. I was in the hospital for a couple months. Then I had to move into an old age home where it's just one floor because I had to be looked after by a nurse. I was in a wheelchair, had to go to physio. I was devastated, of course, because I couldn't have my children with me. Through it all, you know, I gained weight and I couldn't walk. I had a cane in the end. I got my own personal trainer and got in shape and went right back to operating. Doing it ever since. I have a little bit of a limp, but my kids are proud of me. I'm doing what I love, and I just wouldn't back down. It's what I started doing, and I had a mission, I guess, and I'm still doing it.
Well, that's fantastic. You're definitely resilient, to say the least. And obviously, you're passionate about it, because to get hurt and go back to that career because you love it so much, I mean, that speaks volumes. You talked about getting a picture and putting it up on your wall. So I myself never used to be a big believer in vision boards or manifesting, but I got to tell you, my opinion has changed. I'm like a big believer in this now. And when we first met, you told me this really cool story about it. So I would love you to share.
Okay, well, I, of course, was in a thrift store trying to find some toys for my kids because I can't afford anything else. And I haven't found a job yet. And I look up at this thrift store, and there's like a 1975 picture of a huge 350 Hitachi excavator. And it looks like it's in the forest. And it's got, you know, the 70s brown trim with the gold.
Yes.
And I said, I have to have that. And my kids thought I was crazy. How can I start making the dream happen if I don't have something to visualize my goal, right?
Right.
I put it up on my wall in my bedroom. And then, of course, a month later is when I walked into that office. Didn't even know them. I just found it back then there's phone books.
Right.
And I was with them for 8 years.
Wow.
With no schooling. I didn't have to pay a dime for it. So I lucked out, but it worked because ever since that excavator, I'm now running that exact excavator. My boss I have now has bought two of them.
Oh my goodness. It's like meant to be. That's so, so cool.
So of course, since then I've put up, you know, other vision boards of the type of dog I wanted, the type of truck I wanted, and all of it I have now. This vision board, which I just thought was hokey pokey, but.
Me too. It's crazy. It works. It totally works. There's something about seeing your goal and manifesting and being connected to, always remembering what your goal is, what you're passionate about. It totally works. I love hearing stories like this. It just gives me the goosebumps because it's so empowering. This is the stuff. This is the good stuff.
Like, I don't get me wrong, I got harassed too by the old guys that don't want women in the field. But what you have to do is, there's only one out of every 20, and you just win them over with humor.
Right.
Everything they tell you, you just don't take seriously, and you just love on them, and they turn around and learn to respect you because you're a tough worker and they can't deny you. And one day they'll come up to you and tell you, you know what? I teased you for 2 years and you never took any of it, and you're still here and I appreciate you and I'm sorry, you know? Stuff like that will happen, but it's so worth it, and keep plugging along and you're recognized for it. It will happen.
Yeah.
Ignore the bad and take in all the good, and pretty soon it'll be all good, which I'm experiencing. I don't have any problems with any men at any job site. I just get along with all of them now.
Yes, that's great. And like you said, it's how you handle things. Whether you're in the trades or you're in any field, you're going to come across people who are unpleasant or don't think you're good enough or that you shouldn't be there. It's how you handle it. It's how you address it. And humor is always a great way.
Yeah, it's how I got through it. And my 3 kids, knowing that they're watching everything I do and I have to set an example, it's really rang true, because all 3 of them are kind of doing what they love, even though everyone said they couldn't. All 3 of them have gone off and just kind of did what I did when no one believed in them. So, well, I believed in them.
Of course, of course. The mom did.
So it's everyone's. I just love it. I'm proud of myself. I'm thankful that you're interviewing me so I can share my experience. For me, it what's pulled me out of a dark place, you know, being a single mom of 3 kids, you know, 2 ruined marriages. I thought I was done. And I thought, no, these kids, you know, I need to do something for me. And I did it and it worked. And I hope everyone else has the courage to just do that.
You know, women, we're very powerful. And I don't think enough of us recognize that. Why do you think so few women are in the trades?
I think it's the reason it took me a while is because I didn't think I'd be good enough. I think I'd get laughed at. I thought I would fail because I'm a female and don't have it in me to do what guys do. And then I thought, there's no difference between me and a guy. There's smaller guys than me. There's bigger guys. It doesn't matter that I'm a female. I said, there's no difference. So I had to every day tell myself I'm just as worthy as any other guy at the site. And I just kept telling myself that till I believed it. And you just have to believe in you and not let anyone affect you. Don't let anything else come in. Just know who you are and what you're capable of.
Yeah. When I was looking at the trades, I looked at being an operator because it's freaking cush. It's like one of the best trades. First of all, while all the other trades are out in the freezing cold in the rain, you're in the cabin, nice and warm. You're getting paid very well. It's an excellent salary. And you get to operate big, badass machinery. And I definitely looked at being an operator when I was first interested in trades as a career. Unfortunately, I am not the best at driving big vehicles. So for the safety of all my coworkers, I decided it wasn't my skill set. I ended up going the electrical route. But I looked into that trade. I love operators. It's a wonderful, wonderful trade.
I love it when I'm just loading trucks all day and I'm in my warm little cab.
Yes.
When you're starting to operate, you're more of a laborer because, you know, you're the bottom.
Right.
It's better in that way because you learn on the bottom what machine work looks like and what you're expected to do. So when you do get in the seat, you already know what's expected of you from the ground people. I didn't enjoy it at the time because I wasn't making, you know, the money I wanted. But when I was on the ground, I got to see all the hazards, what people expect, you know, your surroundings. So it was very beneficial to start out that way for me to get the hands-on experience too.
Yeah, definitely. So you get the best of both worlds. You get to be in your cab comfy, but you also get to move around and have a lot of action throughout your day. So you're physically and mentally stimulated.
Yeah. I think that's why I enjoy it so much.
Any women that would be interested in getting into the trades, what would you recommend for them?
if I tell anyone, go get your excavating operator course because it's the hardest machine besides a grader. I can run a grader, but not very well. But if you're going in to get any kind of heavy equipment operator, get the excavator because it's the hardest and the highest demanding machine. But don't expect to just be in the machine 20 all the time. Like when you first start out, you're going to be in and out. You might be, you know, out in the pack or outside, but it's worth it. Just stick with it. And one, you'll get a full-time gig being in a machine. A lot of people just want you to prove themselves. If you are going to go get some kind of equipment, go for excavator because it's the same price for loader, crane. Well, it is in Canada anyways.
A lot of women that I've spoke to, one of their biggest concerns about getting into the trades is that they are a single mom. So I'm sure they're going to want to know, how did you do it? How did you do it? I know the hours. I know the hours for a lot of trades, right? As an electrician, I'm up at 3:30 in the morning. Now, I happen to be a morning person. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way, but I can only imagine if I had little ones, how do you work that schedule?
Well, for the first couple years when I started and they were young, I couldn't start work till 8. I said I had to drop one kid off at 7, one kid off at 7:30, and the other one at 7:45 for school, right? Because there was preschool, there was daycare, kindergarten, and the bosses, they'll understand.
Okay.
And I would trade off and say, look, I'll work Saturdays and I'd find a sitter or I'd get my mom to come over from Vancouver, or I would get and make up for that and prove to them that I will make up if they let me start at 8 and not at 7. You know what? There's always ways to work, or just offer to work in the evenings if you can. My job's a lot of times in the summers, the warmer weather, you can work in the evenings. I didn't have help because I had no family on the island, but I had a couple guy friends on my baseball team.
Yes.
Who two nights a week would help with my kids. And then on Saturdays, if I worked an extra Saturday, of course, I'd get my mom or someone to come and help because it's expensive. So I tried to usually trade off or get it for free, my childcare.
Of course.
And then it just got easier and easier, right?
Right.
You're driving, you know, before work and after work, a long time before you even get to get home, right? But right now, it just seems so easy now. But back then, it was so hard.
Well, you got to put the work in, right? And where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
It's now you're getting the salary that you always wanted. You're in the position that you've always desired. You feel like you have a purpose in what you do. You're passionate about it. All that hard work was clearly worth it. So there is a way. There is a way.
There is, for sure.
And Stacey, I want you to tell our listeners, if there was one thing you could have done differently, what would you have done differently?
I would have been a lot easier on myself. The first couple years, I would cry a lot at night because I didn't think I could do this. You know, I'd be made fun of, you know, a few times from the older guys. And I took it to heart so much because I'm very sensitive. I always have been. And I should have just enjoyed my kids more. I should have not worried about it so much because none of it mattered. It was just one guy's opinion. And it ruined, you know, sometimes my whole weekend. And I wish I could go back and, you know, just who cares? Like, who are they to me, right?
Yeah.
That none of it matters what other people think. As long as your boss and you know you're doing a good job, it doesn't matter. So if I could go back, I would have erased all the negativity I thought was coming at me just because I was a woman and it's, oh, poor me. When really, this guy could have had a bad day. It could have been nothing to do with me being new at my job and unsure, right? So I just assume too much. I'd say don't assume what people around you are thinking and just stay on your path and stay focused.
Wow, that's incredible. I think that's really important. I think of myself, and I definitely used to do that when I was younger. You know, you take it personal, you think it's about you, it might have nothing to do with you. And to allow yourself to get so worked up over a silly comment that someone made that, like you said, really at the end of the day means nothing to you.
Or they don't even remember telling you that.
Right.
I'm their best friend a year later. I mean,
you won them over.
Is who I started with 17 years ago with that company. He was a low bed driver, and we're still best friends. I know his wife and his kids. And we are still best friends to this day. But at first, no, he didn't want me there.
He made that clear, huh?
Dad, because he didn't even know he was saying anything mean at the time. He knows nothing. And I just took it all too serious. So we've been best friends ever since. You ladies, if anyone's getting into trades, you're free to, you know, you find that special someone to date or whatever. I don't like to date in my trade because a lot of men don't take me serious then if they see me, you know, dating this guy or that guy. I've seen that where men don't take me seriously if they think I'm just there to date or whatever. So I've always avoided dating at the work site, which makes it hard because those are your good friends and that's how you get to know people.
Well, Stacey, you bring up an excellent point, which I personally am very passionate about. You do not shit where you eat.
Yes. Yes.
I really firmly believe you should not date the people you work with, period. And I apologize to all those women out there who met their husbands on their jobs. You know, I get there's, you know, exception to all rules. But for me personally, I strongly advise exactly what you're saying, Stacey. Do not date the people you work with, especially in a male-dominated field. You give them an excuse to look at you poorly.
It takes away your integrity in their eyes. I'm glad you feel that way too, because I've noticed over the years that the women I do see in the trades that are like to date and they just all have a bad name and they end up having to leave because no one respects them.
Right. Because then what happens when it doesn't work out? And then it's like, you're the odd man out. You've already been the odd man out because you're the only female there. And now it's super uncomfortable. I'm huge on this. I never date anyone I work with, and I firmly push other women to take on that mindset as well for the same reasons that you've mentioned. It's just too easy to give them an excuse of another reason why you shouldn't be there. And it shouldn't be that way. But guess what? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. So you've got to work with your environment. You're not going to change everyone's minds out there. And you shouldn't, right? Because we all should have our own opinions. But for your own well-being, for the best environment, and you should be truly focused on your craft. I mean, that's why we're craftsmen. That's why we're the best at what we do. That's why we're experts.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, Stacey. It was a real pleasure having you. I'm so excited. This was wonderful. I know you're going to reach so many women and hopefully give them the courage and the bravery that you had to step out there and be curious, at least curious, about a career in construction.
And the worst that could happen is someone could say no, right?
Yep.
I'm not trying.
Yes. Yes, definitely. You never know what you're capable of unless you give it a go.
Got it.
It was a pleasure, Stacey. Thank you so much. If any of the listeners have questions for you or would like to reach out to you about, you know, being an operator or if they're near to your area, what's the best way that they could possibly reach you? Is it email or Facebook?
Email. Thank you, Leah. Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. Bye. What an amazing journey. Can you believe a thrift store photo sparked Stacey's path? When Stacey says she has to keep telling herself she was worthy until she believed it, this resonates with me. For a long time, I had a negative story I believed about myself. Some parts of this story I created myself, and some were told to me by others. For example, I used to believe I had a below-average intelligence. During my self-development journey, for years, I tried a technique similar to Stacey's. I wanted to change the negative story I told myself. So I would repeat, Leah, you are smart. For years, I would tell myself, Leah, you are smart. But this was not effective because as much as I told myself I was smart, I didn't believe it until I changed my approach. I started to connect true statements to actions, proving to myself the new narrative was correct and the old narrative was false. For example, if at work I figured out an efficient way to run wire or configured a way to support conduit in a difficult run, I would then say, see, Leah, you are smart. By doing this, my self-told story began to change. My mind was freed from false beliefs. What's your story? I challenge you to discover a different narrative about yourself. Thank you for joining us. If you felt a spark in today's episode, I invite you to write a review. I'd love to hear what lit you up. Take what resonates with you. And if you'd like to hear more of The Sparky Life, please subscribe, like, follow, and share. Until next time, create the sparks in your life.